Our scripture reading today is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. It's a reminder to set our minds on the things that are above. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Both of the readings today are from the Sermon on the Mount. The first one is Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God from Matthew 6, verses 31 through 33. Therefore, do not worry, saying, What will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who seek all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But first, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The second reading is from chapter 7 of Matthew, verses 21 through 27. First, doing the will of God. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you who behave lawlessly. The next one is the parable of the house on the rock. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
My sermon, the world's most important sermon, continues this morning with part two. So, this morning's sermon is the conclusion of last Sunday's sermon. We have been exploring Jesus' most important sermon through his Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Last Sunday, we shared the Beatitudes from Matthew chapter 5. This morning, I'd like to share with you the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, one insight point from each chapter, 6 and 7. So there will be just two insight points this morning. Chapter 6 of Matthew is very important because it includes the most important prayer Jesus taught us. The Lord's Prayer is fundamental and essential to our Christian faith because Jesus taught it as a direct model for how to pray, balancing praise, submission to God's will, request for daily needs, and the necessity of forgiveness. It serves as a daily unifying and transformative guide for living that aligns hearts with divine rather than worldly priorities. However, because I had already shared with you a special sermon series exclusively on this Lord's Prayer a few years ago, let me emphasize something else also significant in chapter 6. It is the famous do not worry lesson Jesus taught us And this passage is part of this morning's gospel readings. So, the most important message of Jesus from chapter 6 is, seek first the kingdom of God. This passage begins with Jesus' well-known message on do not worry. You know, most of these worries in our everyday life are caused by not having enough money or means to sustain life. I guess in Jesus' time, those ancient people seriously struggled with their economic challenges, and they worried a lot. Well, today's situation is not so different. Today's people seem to worry more, not less. Please pay attention to this following statement. Nearly 2 in 3 Americans worry more about running out of money than death. This somewhat shocking statement is from the 2024 report of Allianz Life Insurance Company and also is cited by Adam Hamilton in his book, The Message of Jesus. Moreover, one of the most recent survey results says that, quote, 72% of Americans say they stress about money at least once a month, unquote. Furthermore, according to one of the most recent reports from the USA Facts and Yahoo Finance report, quote, in the United States of America, the top 1% of households controlled roughly 31.7% of the nation's wealth, $55 trillion, as of the third quarter in 2025. The top 10% of the population owns roughly 77% of all wealth. The bottom 50% of households holds just 1 to 3% of the nation's wealth. And the top 1% holds nearly 50% of all stocks and mutual funds, unquote. No wonder so many Americans sustain their lives paycheck to paycheck. No wonder so many Americans are under stress and worry about money or resources, even though we are living in this one of the richest countries in the world. Interestingly, since Jesus' time, not much has been changed regarding worrying about life. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us, therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? Even though it's been 2,000 some years, today people still worry about the basic things, same basic things that are needed in life. What will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? Whether you are ancient people or modern people, we still have the same concern, need, and worry about money or basic and essential possessions. This Matthew chapter 6 is one of the integral parts of the Sermon on the Mount, and we have heard and read this do not worry passage probably 1,000 times in the past. This passage is still important and relevant today to so many people. Unless you have received a huge or substantial amount of inheritance. Unless you are super rich or just rich enough, unless you win $1 million and $1 billion of a lottery, or unless you are comfortably living with the abundant wealth you have. Many people, if not everyone, worry about money. Still with the same old typical struggles, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? One of the main reasons why so many people are so obsessed with earning and gaining material possessions is materialism. Materialism today is so serious and so dangerous that it is called as a spiritual disease. Materialism is an intense focus on accumulating wealth, possessions, and social status, heavily amplified by social media, with studies indicating a decline in valuing a meaningful life in favor of financial gain. Nothing wrong with working and earning money. You deserve more than that, right? But materialism causes significant negative impacts, including unsustainable environmental consumption, high debt levels, and lower mental well-being. Because so many people are infected by this disease called materialism, they tend to constantly be anxious about what they have or what they have not. According to Adam Hamilton in his book, The Message of Jesus, quote, "The antidote, or perhaps better, vaccine to the spiritual disease of materialism is generosity. The more freely we give, the less money has on our heart," unquote. This point is very important. If you are constantly worrying about money or anything else, you cannot move forward in your faith journey. You would be stuck with your mind full of all kinds of anxieties and more worries in life. So Jesus' message is clear. It is more like a command. Do not worry. Do not worry is, of course, a negative sentence. However, we are called to be obedient to Jesus' command actively and even proactively. This active command is, yes, seek first the kingdom of God. Then what is the meaning of seek first the kingdom of God? This means prioritizing God's will, God's character, and God's reign above all else, including material needs, personal ambitions, and worries. It is an active daily pursuit of righteousness, living according to God's standards, and trusting that our generous, loving, and caring Heavenly Father will provide for your life. Is your priority matter? Is your new perspective and new values as a new creation? Is your new heart that is built in with more active empathy, compassion, understanding, respect, love, and care? In this sense, if you truly want to obey the words of Jesus, seek first the kingdom of God, you would never stay as the same you every day, but to strive to become as a better person and a more loving, more caring, and more open person today than yesterday. just as Apostle Paul also echoes Jesus' point and emphasis in his letter to the Colossians, verse 2 from this morning's scripture reading. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. Shouldn't we examine ourselves to see if our minds are set above or are still being confined on this earth only? My brothers and sisters in Christ, this morning we sang Seek Ye First, hymn number 4-5, as our opening and processional hymn together. Whenever we sing this hymn, which is based on Jesus' message from the Sermon on the Mount, let us focus more on trusting God and His righteousness than anything else that could distract you and make you to be more anxious. Yes, we truly and seriously trust Jesus' promise, and all these things will be given to you as well. Throughout my life of over 65 years, I have been experiencing a great deal of God's promise, God's provision, and God's grace, especially whenever I am in transition or in crisis. I always try to seek the kingdom of God first. Then amazingly, God always gives me the best in my every step of the way. I guarantee that you do the same, and God will always take care of you. Amen? I guess not sure. Let's try again. Amen? Amen. Number two, we are called to be active doers of God's will, not to be mere hearers. This morning's Gospel of Matthew chapter 7 passage includes two segments. Interestingly, while the first one, doing the will of God, is one of those typical important proclamation style messages, the second part, the parable of the house on rock, is actually a parable. We're going to talk about more parables next Sunday. But of course, the first part can be also considered to be one of Jesus' stories of what if stories, scenarios, because he is telling about the consequence of not doing God's will in a future, maybe on the judgment day or a day of reckoning at some point later. It is a well-known parable of the wise and foolish builders, also known as hearers and doers. Actually, these two parts are one simple yet profound message of Jesus. Yes, we must be active doers of God's will, not mere hearers of the word. In Matthew 7:22, people come to Jesus by saying, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? Their spiritual accomplishments, healing endeavors, and many other mighty works in Jesus' name sound huge, marvelous, and astounding. However, Jesus' response sounds more shocking to us. Verse 23, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you who behave lawlessly. Why would Jesus say these harsh and cold words to these people, saying they have done seemingly many wonderful things in the name of Jesus? NIV Bible translates the same words, but with more harsh expressions. I never knew you, away from me, you evildoers. According to CEB, Contemporary English Bible, "Get away from me, you people who do wrong." Maybe it is not clear to us why many great things they have done is, after all, either evildoer work or simply wrong. Better yet, the second part of the passage of chapter 7 through the parable, Jesus teaches us why. Even though we claim we are doing many great things for God and for God's glory through our ministries and missions and many other works for Jesus, this implies that all these things are done, after all, for our own credit, our own fame, and our own kingdom, rather than pursuing God's kingdom. Yes, they might possess so much knowledge about God's words, God's laws, and God's commandments, so they might have performed amazing things to certain degrees. Nevertheless, their works never reflected or brought forth God's will or God's heart. That's why the second part, the parable, shows the contrast between the foolish builder and the wise builder. The foolish builder built a house on sand. After the storms, the house on sand is destroyed and gone. On the other hand, the wise builder built a house on rock. Even after the storms, the house is still standing strong on rock. Verse 24, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built this house, his house on rock." They are not mere hearers, but serious and active doers of God's will. Interestingly, the foolish builders are hearers as well. However, they simply stayed that way. They just heard the message, the same message, God's will, but they never moved forward to become doers. In verse 26, Jesus asserts, "And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand." Reading the Bible cover to cover and multiple times is important and good. Possessing all kinds of Bible knowledge, including historical backgrounds, characters, events, and many more in details, is also crucial and great. However, we are called to become, since faithful and active doers of God's will and wise and discerning builders of the kingdom of God here and now by loving God and by loving our neighbors. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German theologian, wrote the great book, The Cost of Discipleship, and later it was published in 1959. Quote, "Humanly speaking, it is possible to understand the Sermon on the Mount in a thousand different ways. But Jesus knows only one possibility, simple surrender and obedience, not interpreting or applying it, but doing and obeying it. That is the only way to hear his words. He does not mean for us to discuss it as an ideal. He really means for us to get on with it." Unquote. My sisters and brothers in Christ, the message of Jesus is not meant to be some kind of a novel knowledge that we can gain and possess. The message of God is truly and seriously meant to be a calling for us to follow and obey God's will as active and committed disciples of Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul proclaims in Colossians verse 3. You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Yes, we have died with Christ in his death. However, we have new life in the resurrection, in the resurrected Christ. In verse 4, Apostle Paul continues, when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Yes, the message of Jesus is our eternal life. Yes, Jesus Christ himself is truly our eternal life. Thanks be to God. Amen.